Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, we continue here about headship, and we're taking a look here at this relationship of being a wife. Ladies, you that are wives, young ladies who are not looking forward to, we're looking at what the Lord says directly to women about their relationship with their husband and things, commands to them about such. You know, the Apostle Paul, it's laid on him a bill of goods that he hated women. He didn't hate women. It's just there's a reason for this instruction. There's a reason for this instruction from the Lord. And so we need to see it. And I hope that in the course of these messages, we'll be able to get to the end and see why this is, why this instruction. There's more instruction to women regarding being a wife than there is to husbands being men. Or to men being husbands. It's just that way, okay? And I've asked you if there's scriptures that I've not taken a look at in instruction to husbands and being a husband to their wife and the way the Lord would be pleased, then I want to know about those. But there's just much more instruction about a woman to be a wife to her husband. And there's a reason for that. And ultimately, we want to get to that. Here in 1 Corinthians 11, here in verse number 1, be ye followers of me, as even as I also am of Christ, the apostle says. And I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. And so we're looking forward to ordinances here with Maddie's baptism and the Lord's Supper here in the coming weeks. Because they all speak of Christ and what the Lord has done for us. Verse 3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So there is an order that's been established there by the Lord. And in this situation and all these relationships, we've taken a look at several different relationships. There's always two parties involved. There's always two parties involved. We as the children of God, we get the command, we get the instruction from the Lord about how are we to be. And in this particular relationship of ladies being a wife to their husbands, they got instruction from the Lord in that, and then they are to be submissive and pursue that to their husband. We as husbands have the same thing that we looked at, and we've got that relative to government, the church, being children, being an employee, and all those different kinds of things. We took a look last time in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll just here real quick bounce off of these qualifications for being a preacher and being a pastor and being a deacon. Now, our church doesn't have any deacons, but brethren, if it is such, that you qualify for this. The office of a deacon is not something that a man applies for, but that when it's appropriate and there's leadership of the Lord in it, that the Lord indicates to a church that there needs to be the ordaining of a deacon or some deacons in the church. The Lord will lead us in that. We have no deacons presently, but if time goes on and it's such that the Lord would lead us in that, then we will, and these are the qualifications that need to be met. We got Brother Chad here as a minister in the church. We got me as pastor. I've been ordained. I need to continue to meet these qualifications. And Brother Chad, he's in a time of ministering and his call to preach. And then if it ever is such that the brother would come to a point that we would need to ordain him, the church is going to evaluate our brother over the course of time whether he meets these qualifications or not. And they're given to us by the Lord for such. We see here in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, and we'll pick it up in verse number 8 because the content is here relative to the deacon, but I believe it applies in both cases. And this, you know, ladies, if your husband is such that he could be, you know, he's qualified to where he could be ordained as a deacon, you need to be about holding up your end of the bargain, if you will, okay? And the thing is, this instruction that's here, what lady is there not, would this not be good for? It'd be good for all, wouldn't it? Indeed it is, because it's instruction from the Lord. It's not just something, there's an attitude that can prevail that says, well, that's just for those people that serve. Well, wait a minute, we're all serving. Right. Are we not all serving? Yeah. We are, we're all serving. Right. Okay, and so, and who knows what the Lord will do in your life and how the Lord would use you and call you. I was not going to preach, and I was not going to pastor. I said never. But the Lord had other things in mind. Verse 8, likewise must the deacons, and here it is, that's the reason I think that it, where these things are listed in either case, they apply to both, even though they may not be listed. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. This is good for all of us, brethren. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. The brethren that are going to be pastors, they need to be proved too. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And so here in verse number 11, this verse here applying to the wives, it is necessary. You know, a man can't be a pastor and he can't be a deacon just unto himself. We've all seen those kind of cases where the man said that he was called, but frankly, it was known and it was obvious that his wife disqualified him from being such. I don't mean that bad. It's just the way that it is. We've seen it. At least I've seen it in my lifetime. You know, brethren, if you think that the Lord is calling you to something, if you think the Lord's calling you to preach, you better make sure your wife is with you. Because if she's not, it won't work. And it won't be blessed of the Lord. The Lord will always bless His Word in spite of us. Okay, so there may be good things, quote unquote, that'll happen. That can happen. A lost man can preach the gospel and folks be saved because of the Lord honoring His Word. But for it to be right, for a man to run lawfully, this is what the Lord says. And so it says there, their wives must be grave. They must be have an understanding of what's going on. Have a soberness. This is the word sober is also used, and it's not necessarily talking about not being drunk, although that is appropriate. It shouldn't be drunk at all, because that's a condemnation in the Scripture. But this gravity is to have a real understanding of what's going on in life. Have an understanding of what's going on with the instruction of the Lord. Have an understanding about the need of souls to be saved and the need of the people of God, those that have claimed salvation to the Lord, to serve the Lord. To understand about how the operation of the home should be and to pursue that and be diligent in that. To be grave and steadfast, not one that would be flighty. Not one that would be easily dissuaded from the calling that would be there. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers. Not, if I remember right, not diablos. I think that word slanderer is that word diablos. Not spouting off at the mouth and telling this and telling that and telling bad stuff and running people down. And no, need to be one that's gracious. Standing for the truth, but it's no qualification even for a deacon's wife to be mean. It just doesn't work. It's not right. It's not representing the Lord. Not a slanderer. Not one that would run people down. You know, may the Lord help us all that we don't try to move forward in our life and service for the Lord by crawling up on somebody's back. You're never going to be elevated by putting somebody else down. It'll never work. It may work in this life, but before the Lord, He'll hold it in disdain and contempt. It's an abomination before the Lord for us to try to climb up on the backs of others. The Lord's not that way, is He? By no means. And so, not a slanderer. Sober. A good understanding, no drunkenness, and then faithful in all things. To be diligent in all things. Chapter 5 of this book. Chapter 5 of this book also speaks about, it talks about the widows and the proper place of widows and support and relief for widows and how the church is the last one to be charged with the care, the perpetual care of a widow. If she has children, if she has nephews, if they have any other means, that's the way it's supposed to be before the church is charged. Going on down here, there's younger widows that are addressed. And let's pick it up in verse number 14. Okay? I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So he's speaking here of younger widows, and then segues into this verse number 14, where he says about the younger women. That's what a young woman should have expectation to do. Now, going out and trying to snag a man? No, don't go out trying to snag a man. That's not what the Lord says. The Lord says to be on the lookout, taking the Word of God, what the Scripture says, and looking for the man that the Lord would have you to marry. To be on the lookout, not looking to by hook, crook, or any way possible to gain a man. It won't last. It won't work. There's got to be, you can't, and just from the standpoint of trickery, you can't trick somebody into a thing, okay? That seems to be the mode of some. You can't trick somebody into a thing and expect that trick to last for 30 years. Yeah. Won't work. Will not work. It needs to be by the leadership of the Lord and the seeking of the Lord's face and looking for someone that wants to serve the Lord like you want to serve the Lord and follow in that. Amen. And it says here that the younger women marry, bear children. Okay, that's one of the results of marriage and for the continuing on of the race. And it doesn't say pursue a career, does it?
Right.
No, but to bear children, to be there in the home. Now, what's that next thing it says? It goes on to guide the house. The husband is the one that sets down the direction that the house is going, the home is going, by the Word of God. Brethren, it's our charge that we do so, and our wives are there to help us. They are to be there to guide in what we have directed, to remind the children of that. Now, we took a look in Titus, where it says there that the women are also to be keepers at home. That's the design. So keepers at home, guide the house, okay? That's what the Lord says. That's the direction that the Lord's taken it. And if there is a thing that's not right where we're not following this, we need to make every effort as a couple, as children of God, to get the thing righted, to move it in the right direction and do what's right. What's happened in our world today? Well, roles have been reversed. Things are out of sorts. We want too much. And so the world presses on us that way, that because of what we want to have a house that's this big or have this stuff so much or be able to do this kind of thing. And so both work. That's just the way of the world. But the Lord's design is that a woman marry and be there to guide that home. Now, here's a little bit of insight of the power that a woman has. A woman, a wife, can make or break a man. She can shovel more out the back door than he can bring in the front door. Or she can work and conserve and be wise, and we're going to take a look at that, and she can make a man prosperous. She's there to be his helpmeet, not he be her helpmeet, but she's there to be his helpmeet. That's what the Lord has said. That's what the Lord's designed. If it isn't that way in your home, you need to work it and pursue the Lord and ask the Lord's help and begin to get that thing in the right way, because that's where the Lord's blessing is at. Will other things work? Yeah, it may work, but there's always going to be collateral damage. When I say that it'll work, we might get to an end, but was it the blessed end that the Lord would have for us? Probably won't be.
Amen.
Probably won't be. And so I understand the temptations, but Clarissa and I, we've been blessed. She worked, and she worked early on in our marriage, but then after we moved back to Missouri and that, she didn't work anymore. And I'm thankful for that. She wanted to be a mother. The Lord blessed me with a desire to have a wife that wanted to be a mother and care for our children and care for our home. And that's a blessing from the Lord. You that are not married, that's what you need to pray for. And that's what you need to hold out. Don't hold out. Don't take a compromise.
Amen.
But take that blessing of the Lord and what's good there. And so that should be the desire in young women and the pursuit of a wife. Guide the house, keep the home. And what's it say there in verse number 14? It was a true when the apostle wrote it, giving this instruction to Timothy as he would preach and teach those that he would pastor. It says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It says in other places we've looked at it that the word of God be not blasphemed. So understand that a wife can make or break a home. It's not all on her back, but her impact is great. A mother is there at home in the place that the Lord has for her. And what is she? Her care with the children is continual, isn't it? She can teach them good things or she can teach them bad things.
That's right.
Right? Because there, what's it said? Your brother can help me out. What's it said that the mother has the power of the future, or she rocks the future of the world with her hand as she rocks that cradle.
Rocks the cradle rules the world.
There you go. There you go. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. See, she can make him or break him, and she can make and break those children. Now, he needs to be a leader. We as husbands and fathers, we need to be the leader in our home. And the wife needs to submit to that. And that doesn't mean beat down and hunkered down and beat up and a slave. That's not what that's talking about. But to join the husband and the father in that, and that they work together. And I tell you what, brethren, make sure that your children know that if they pick on your wife, and I say it that way, I've said it that way to my children, you pick on my wife, you're picking on me. Don't blow off your children abusing your wife, their mother. You got to be confederate in that thing. I love my kids. Some people think I hate my kids. I love my children. But they're related to me. And it's subject to that if they get an inch, they'll take a mile. When I was given an inch, I took a mile. Okay? And so they need to know that the mom and dad are confederate. They run the house. They set what it is. The father is the leader of that home in every respect. The wife is the helper in every respect. And that they're, because the husband and wife were there when the children came, and the husband and wife are going to be there when the children leave. Okay? Now, are there exceptions to things? Yeah, things happen. There's all kinds of different things, and I'm not talking about those. My duty as pastor is to instruct and guide in what the Lord says and what the Lord's plan is. And yes, there are exceptions. In this thought here, and I'll just give you a subtle thing about how the world works on us, Satan and the world system, mankind and that. It says here that the younger women are to marry, bear children, and guide the house. Maybe the Lord doesn't have a husband for you. That could be. It could be. I can understand wanting a spouse, and it seemed like there not be any. I've been in that place. But what do you want? And I know it's easy for me to say, but do you want what you want, or do you want what the Lord wants? Need to be content. Lord, if you don't want me, these are hard words for a young person. Lord, if you don't want me to be married, help me to be content in you. Because the Lord does do that for some. He does give the gift of singleness. Sometimes what the Lord wants out of us is just to be willing. Well, we've seen that here as a church, haven't we? Just to be willing. And to think sincerely willing. But then if you want a thing, well, pray the Lord will bless in it. Pray the Lord will provide in it. I've seen the Lord bring spouses out of the clear blue sky. He's done it, and He can do it for you. And so pray. Nothing's impossible with the Lord. But it says here to guide the house. This doesn't mean like the Waltons. You hear what I'm saying? to guide the house doesn't mean like the Waltons. I said, Brother Jim, I thought the Waltons was a good show. Well, let's think about it. It's kind of like Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith's a good show. Every time there's an opportunity to tell a lie to make it better. Got to watch out for that stuff. Because the Lord doesn't want us lying, does he? No. What about the Waltons? Well, Mama goes to church and Daddy runs a sawmill. That's messed up, isn't it? Daddy ought to be out there loading up the family to go to church. When the tough decisions come along or the spiritual decisions come along, Mama's got the answer. And if Mama doesn't have the answer, who's got the answer? Grandma's got the answer. Am I right? Do I speak the truth? Right? See, that sells a bill of goods to us because I didn't live back then. But the thinking is like, I watch that stuff when when my brain's just a little puddle of mush in my skull, and it's like, well, that's the way it was. That's not the way it is. That's not the... Look, Grandpa's long-haired hippie freak, isn't he? Is that right?
No.
So it's not right.
Amen.
See? So we got to watch out. It's just my little plug on the media and how it can affect us. You can hear that song. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Man, that sounds sweet, doesn't it? You know, good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. You know, and John Boy's just the biggest liberal there ever was. Right? Am I right? But it all looks like it's the happy... And so then you get a young couple and married, and they want to be like the Waltons. Well, he goes off and runs a sawmill on the weekend. She goes... They load up and go to church, hard scrabble. Understand? Get the point?
Amen.
Men need to be leaders. Wives need to be helpers. Fathers need to be leaders. Mothers need to be helpers. Guide the house. And be a keeper at home.
Amen.
That's a place of blessing. And you know what? There's a great reward for obedience.
Amen.
There's a great reward for obedience. Oh, me. All right.
Got it right, Brother Jim.
1 Peter chapter 3. Here's direct instruction from the Lord, chapter 3, verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, right in parallel with what we see in Ephesians, that if any obey not in word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know what? Even, and I know this may be talking about an extreme, but if my wife will follow what the Lord says, even though I'm saved and I'm a pastor, I'm not perfect. And the witness of my wife pursuing what's right can be a witness and testimony to me. The desire of a wife to want to do what's right, but maybe I would want to hold her back from that, but it can still be a witness and testimony to me. Wives, seek to pursue what's right in the Lord. Don't be rebellious about it with your husband from the standpoint that strife is gendered, and there's a balance in there because you are one flesh. But pursue what's good. And if a husband isn't supportive of it, well then keep it there in a right way before him and pray that God will change their heart. Because the Lord can. He's the big heart changer, isn't he? That they also without the word may be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. A man that would want his wife to go around with little clothes on, and she knows by the instruction of the word of God that she shouldn't. That is a witness and a testimony.
Right.
So the Lord wants me to keep myself for you, not to be showcased to the world. Whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. You know, that's one thing. We ought to come to services neat. And I understand the concept of wearing your best to come to the service of the Lord. I understand that. But I wonder if there hasn't been an effect about what we view as importance about our adornment of these bodies you know, what I understand from some that are near and dear to me and my family, and other of my family, other than my immediate family, is that dress clothes are uncomfortable. And that everybody wants to get out of their dress clothes when they get home. Why in the world would we want to wear something uncomfortable to come and worship the Lord? Now, we don't need to come like a slob, okay? But wear something that's comfortable. You know, you see what I'm saying? Is what the Lord, does the Lord want neat and appropriate and right? Or does he want fashionable, looking good and uncomfortable? To where you're uncomfortable and you're just wiggling around so you can't listen to anything that's going on. To spend the day, it's like you go and say, well, it's time to wear this outfit. It's going to kill me all day. You know what I'm saying? You know, and I tell you what, and I haven't done this, but Lord willing, someday we will. It's going to be interesting to take a look about what the Lord Jesus says about clothes. There's a study for you. I throw that out there. But anyway, chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be of the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Take a shower. Put some deodorant on. Put a little foo-foo on if you need to. It's okay. I need to. Okay? I'll just tell you, not to get too personal, but I need to. But don't let that be everything that you are. If that's everything that you are, the outward adornment, then we're missing the point. Okay? But let it be of the hidden man of the heart. Well, that's fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, ladies, which in the sight of God is of great price. God really likes that. The Lord likes a woman. The Lord is blessed and rejoices over a child of His, a woman that's a child of His, that even though she has great ability and great power, great virtue, is meek and in control in the place and the station that God has made for her. Just like a man that could come in and whip everybody in the house, but he just doesn't do it because he can. But because of the instruction of the Lord, he keeps himself under control, even when it gets tough. And so it is with a woman that has great ability and great virtue and great power. For after this manner, verse number 5, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. They adorned themselves this way, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. And her calling him Lord was in that reference that we have in the Old Testament scriptures about her Lord taking in pleasure in her, and that she would be able to conceive a child at such an old age, that it would be a joy to him for her who had been barren to be able to have and carry Isaac. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, are not afraid with any amazement. Do you want to be, ladies, do you want to be referred to as a daughter of Sarah? The Lord thinks that's a good thing. Was Sarah just some wimp? I don't think so, having a kid at 90 years old, huh? And then raising him, right? Yeah. Yeah, and was subject to Abraham in that. Okay. We're going to stop right there for now and pick it up here next time. Relationships, the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship one with another, and our families and our homes, our relationship in that with the Lord. May the Lord help us that we take the Word of God and apply it to our lives. I got to take that good book, that good instruction, that scripture, and I got to take it and bring it down here to me. That's what each one of us have got to do. We got to take it down here to us. And brethren, it's that way for you and me. As sons of the Father, as sons to our parents, as husbands to our wives, as fathers to our children. We need to take that word of God and apply it to us. Ladies, same thing for you. As a daughter of the Lord, as a child of the Lord, as a daughter to your parents, as a wife to your husband, as a mother to your children. The blessing is in obeying the Lord and taking it. Not rising up and bucking up against it. Not taking it and modifying it and twisting it into something and say, well, I almost like what the Lord says, but I'm going to take it and I'm going to tweak it like this. You're always giving something up. Always giving something up. And you know, the way it is with blessings with the Lord is if we will obey to this point, it will be then that we can see the blessing ahead. But if we don't obey here, we can't even see what's next. We say, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. I can't go there. That just can't be. My life is different. I just can't. Won't ever see the blessings that lie beyond till we obey the Lord in that next thing. That's the way that it is. Because see, when we take the Lord at His word and we obey Him in that, and I know I'm using the expression here of stepping up to it, but when we trust the Lord in a thing that's impossible, it's only then that we're trusting in a God that can do impossible things. And then we see, the Scripture says that when we have those things that we ask of Him, our joy and our confidence, our faith is made stronger because we receive those things that we ask for. You hear what I'm saying? So see, it's by obeying the Lord that we're able to see the next thing. Brother Mark and I were talking about it earlier today. It's that way in studying the Word of God. We won't have what's next until we grab a hold of what we've got in front of us. You hear? Because it's what the Lord gives us in there that's, if you will, is more plain, more present. Until we grab a hold of that and get a handle on that, it won't be until we do that, the Lord won't show us the next thing. That's the way it is with the Lord. The service of the Lord builds.